This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. Have you rediscovered life? Glory to God, because words fail us to describe what the Lord does in us and for us and through us. But truly, it is a new life. And that's why he said, I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly in John chapter 10 and verse 10. There's an abundant life for every one of us if we will but surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we were looking in Mark chapter 5 where Jesus raised the daughter of Jairus. You know, this man came to Jesus. He humbled himself. He was a ruler of the synagogue. So again, in spite of his position, his power and influence, he fell on his knees before Jesus and he begged him, come, lay your hands on my daughter. Unfortunately, Jesus is delayed. And I think it's important to recognize this because the woman with the issue of blood reached out, got healed, and Jesus stopped, and all the progress stopped. And I'm sure the progress was slow because he was probably accompanied by a huge crowd as normal. And as you know, when you're in a crowd, you have to move slowly. But things go from bad to worse because they go from moving slowly to stopping. And this woman tells her story. She gives testimony of how God had healed her when she had just reached out by faith and touched the hem of his garment. And so things are really delayed. But it's important to understand that God's delays are not God's denials. You know, just because something has been delayed in your life, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged. It's so important to recognize that just because things have been delayed does not mean they have been denied. Because God works on his time scale, and sometimes his time scale doesn't match ours. Amen. That's why Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And so we have to trust God, and we have to trust the process. We have to trust the fact that he who began this good work in us will also be faithful to complete it. And so let's keep our eyes on the Lord and not give in to discouragement. Amen. And so just one touch from Jesus and you receive whatever you need, because they came, they said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher? Jesus comes. He throws out all those who are mocking. He goes in with the father and mother and a few of the disciples. It says he took the father, mother, the child, those who were with him, entered where the child was. This is Mark chapter 5 and verse 40. And then he took the child by the hand. And so right there and then, the hand of Jesus touches the hand of this child. And you know what happens? Jesus said, Talitha kamai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately she arose and walked. Why? Hallelujah. Immediately she arose and walked. Because just one touch from Jesus and you receive whatever you might need. Glory to God. Just one touch from Jesus and you receive whatever you need. Even death in its finality had no power to resist the touch of Jesus. If you have dead areas in your life, he can bring life and liberty through his touch. Because the Gospels are filled with accounts of Jesus physically touching people and making them whole. You see, God longs to touch your life because once he touches you, you can never be satisfied by the things of this world again. When we spoke on this message in church, I had a poster made out of the fresco painted by Michelangelo on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, where the touch of God, where God reaches out and touches Adam, where God's fingers reached out towards Adam's finger. That beautiful painting was painted between 1508 and 1512. And it truly is a work of art, you know, the work of God's creation, because it illustrates the biblical account of creation of Adam. And I think it's important to acknowledge that the biblical account is the accurate account, because life did not just happen, we are created. But the ceiling, you have the biblical account of the creation of Adam as recorded in Genesis, in which the creator of all life gives life to Adam, the very first man. While the fingers of God and Adam don't touch in the painting, it symbolizes how God is our source. For in him we live and move and have our being. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to 31. And it says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. For so much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The Bible says God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so it's important for us to recognize that in our dealings with God, we must approach him humbly, recognizing that he is right and we are wrong. And the Bible says that in him we live and move and have our being. Fact is, I remember a lovely old charismatic song, probably from the 70s, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move. Yeah, praise the Lord. In him we live and move and have our being. God is the creator of all men, and we must therefore serve him humbly and gladly. But as for those who deny his existence, goodness, lordship, truth, or sovereignty, it will not go well either in this life or the next, for how can it? For we can't be truly satisfied by anything else in this world. Without God, nothing, and I mean nothing, makes sense. This is why you have people who travel the world and they just don't find what they're looking for. You know, you can seek it through success, through money, through sex, through the things of the world, and invariably it will leave you empty and dissatisfied. You know, I'm just reminded of Matthew Perry, the Friends actor who tragically died recently. And I thought it was interesting where he recounts the story of how he fell on his knees and cried out to God, said, God, please make me world famous. I'll do anything. You can do anything you want. Just make me world famous. And within a few weeks, he got the job or the role for Friends. And he was propelled into mega stardom, you know, huge prosperity, wealth, fame, etc. But he said after 6 months, he suddenly came to himself and realized, you know what, this isn't filling the hole that exists in me. This isn't bringing me the happiness I envisaged. You know, that's the way it is with the things of the world. The Bible speaks in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 about the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin gives you pleasure for a season, but it's always a short one. And at the end of that season, you're going to find yourself empty, dissatisfied, and disillusioned. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us something very interesting. It says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? And so interestingly here, the Bible says that if your aspiration is wealth or possessions or the things of this world, they're not going to satisfy you. A lot of people say, well, try me. And I understand if you don't have these things, you can have all sorts of ideas in your head about how this will be the thing that will bring happiness to me. When I get the iPhone 10, when I get the job or the girl or the guy or the home or the car or the promotion. And yet invariably, while those things bring a temporary form of satisfaction or happiness or elation, it's amazing how quickly we become accustomed to these things to the point where we end up just as miserable as we were before and maybe even more so. And this is why the Word of God records it to guide us and to help us to learn. It says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. So the Bible says that silver or gold or the things of the world cannot satisfy the deepest desires of your soul. What can satisfy you? Well, nothing but a relationship with God. Until you know the God who made you, you will never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. You'll never find peace. And so today, if you would like to receive Christ, the Prince of Peace, just pray this simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in my heart that you were born of a virgin, I believe you lived a perfect life, and that when you died on the cross, you died in my place, bearing my sin and shame. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus Christ, and forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland as we continue our series on the touch of God. Shalom.